House of Israel, weep for joy. I brought you out of the nations.
Hi, I'm Dawn. Visit us on the web and claim your free gift at www.tsiyon.org. And remember, the views expressed on this program are solely our own and don't reflect the opinions of any network station or sponsor involved in bringing our program to you. Now, on the road to Zion with the remnant people of God, here's the voice of Zion in exile, Eliyahu ben David.
Shalom, friends. Shalom, Dawn.
Shalom. The theme for today's program is Compass in the Ashes.
Yes, it's a rather strange theme, and in a way, this is kind of a strange program. Recently, we had a prophet come to visit us because Yahweh gave him a vision of a compass in the ashes of our burned-up property here at Zion. In this program, we're going to meet this prophet and find out more of what he saw.
And we'll hear that coming up next. The book of Revelation reveals that we are now living in the last days. However, Revelation was written by a Messianic Jew, which is why most interpreters have gotten Revelation all wrong. Now, Eliyahu ben David is writing a series of books that unseal Revelation from the Hebraic perspective it was written in. This is Revelation clearer and more certain than you have ever heard it before. Read a free sample of the Messianic Revelation series. Just take the link from www.tsiyon.org to download your free sample from the Messianic Revelation series today.
TSIYON.org Zion.
Welcome back. Now, Eliyahu ben David interviews a visiting prophet.
I have with me a new friend named Mark from Oregon, and Mark is kind of new to Zion Ministry. Mark, you've been listening to our programs for how long?
About 7 days.
Okay, so about a week. I'd like to mention that we had a fire here on our Zion property. A couple of months ago, we've been living in a campground since then. We just recently moved back onto the property and what is temporary housing for us. We're going to be restoring a home onto the property where it was burned. It used to be like really beautiful. There was a nice fence around the whole thing. That's all burned up now, and some trees survived. Many of them, though, did not. And our home is completely burned to ashes. And the reason that I'm talking about this is that this figures into our interview, and that'll all become clearer soon. But I think what's important right now for you to know is that Mark contacted us on the same weekend that we're moving home, meaning back onto the property, and Mark is here with me right on our Zion property. Now, Mark, I'd like to get a little bit of background on you and what Yahweh has done in your life before we ever met you. Now, you told me that you were in the post office for many years, kind of a normal guy, right?
Yes.
Very much a normal guy. And that's real important to understand. And if anyone was here looking at Mark right now, they would think they were looking at your average postal clerk or perhaps postmaster, but you know, very much what you would picture. I'm sure that really was your life for a long time. You've been a believer for a long time, right?
Yes, all my, well, from the time I was 19 years old.
Okay, so you're a believer, you worked in the post office for a long time. How many years?
32 years.
32 years, so a long time. Then something changed in your life. What happened?
Towards the end of my career, I just knew that God was calling me to go do something different. And so I just had some different leadings, and just deep down inside, I know that I wanted to just give the rest of my life to serve Him. And that period of time was just one where I knew that I was going to have to make a decision to just leave my job early, even though I wouldn't be receiving money in my retirement until I was a certain age. I was too young, but I still had the finances to do that, so I decided to leave.
Right. So you gave up then the possibility of the retirement that you would have in the postal service?
Yes, for a period of time, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, that's really interesting. Then you must have really felt this, that you needed to do this in order to make a choice like that.
Yes.
What made you so certain?
I just knew. I mean, and it wasn't something, I always wanted to serve God all my life. And so, you know, the point in time of raising my kids and stuff like that, there just wasn't that distinctive time. And there were several different times where I wanted to go full-time ministry, but it just didn't work out. I mean, I tried to do it on my own, and it just didn't happen. So I always assumed and thought and believed that it just wasn't the right time.
So you always knew all your life, really, that you were called to the ministry?
Yes.
Right.
And I was ordained in a church back when I was in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And I just knew there was a calling on my life.
So what made it imperative at that particular time when you finally separated yourself from the life you had and made yourself available to God? What was it? Were you especially feeling a calling at that time?
Yes, stronger than I'd ever felt before. And I knew that there were some things that were going to be happening on the earth that were very tough.
Right.
I just sensed and knew that there was something like on the horizon. I think a lot of people have mentioned it. Even people that are Christian or non-Christian are going, geez, I just sensed something really bad's going to happen and big.
Right.
And so there was a sense inside of me that this is going to happen. I need to get prepared. And should I be serving God or not serving God in a way that He wanted me to? Yes. And so just, I was just thinking the word God, Yahweh. And so I'll just use Yahweh. But I had a specific calling, and I knew I was supposed to do something.
Okay. So when you made this choice then, and it's a big step, since God was in it was all just clear sailing, right?
No.
Oh, no?
No, it was not. No. Some very drastic life-changing things happened. I left the Postal Service, had significant funds to do pretty much anything I wanted to do in my life, didn't really have, you know, to really fight or work. At the time, you know, my wife, my friend, I discussed with her that I was going to be leaving and wanted to serve God to support me in a spiritual way. And,
right.
And also, you know, it wasn't like financial because we had the finances and stuff, but left the post office early 2007, and she just saw her go through a huge change. Also, there's just change in both of our lives, but she decided she wanted to be on her own and left.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty horrible.
Oh, yes. Devastating.
Yeah.
And I guess for certain people, it maybe is harder, hard on them or tough or not as tough. But for me, it was devastating.
Yeah. Was it shocking to you that this would happen now that you have had taken up your calling?
Oh, it was something I never, ever imagined.
Right.
My whole thought in my mind was that someday she would die or I would die with me next to her or her next to me.
Right, right.
So that just did not happen.
Right. Yeah, I think it's such an important thing for people to realize. If Yahweh calls you into the ministry and you follow it, many people naively believe that from that point on, everything is going to be blissful. And actually, exactly the opposite is true. because if you answer Yahweh's call, there are spiritual powers arrayed against you that really want to deter you and even to destroy you. So as soon as you answer Yahweh's call, you're going to encounter these spiritual powers, and this is going to be manifested in people you care about around your life and other things that happen in your life. And this is really the common story I hear from people who have a call like you have had. They always start out by going through some difficult trials, and this has a tendency of weeding out some people. In other words, there are some who are called and they have these problems come up in their life, and it's so devastating to them that it totally deters them from being able to move on in what Yahweh has for them. Now, to lose your wife of many years as a result of choosing to follow Yahweh in this, I'm sure it was a very devastating experience. What did you want to have happen when that was happening?
Restoration of my family, my marriage, because it was also my family. Yeah. And so the next 3 years, the day that she left, I spent 3 years literally seeking God for restoration and just seeking Him and His will. And so anywhere from 8 to 16 hours a day, either praying, studying, praying in the Spirit, worshiping Him, just seeking Him for, direction and restoration. Yeah. But so, mainly it was restoration.
So did you, does restoration mean you wanted Yahweh to bring her back to you?
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you believe that would happen?
Oh, yes. I believe, and still do. And what has happened through this whole experience is will He bring her back in the way that I thought? Uh-huh. Or is there actually someday, in the future, meaning, when He comes back to this earth or something like that, is I believe that there still is a restoration. Mm-hmm. I will not give up on that belief.
Right.
And so does that mean that she's going to be living with me? I do not know anymore.
Right.
But I do believe in some sort of restoration will come no matter what.
Okay. So now how did this affect your life? You said 3 years you were doing this?
Yes.
So why do you say 3 years? If you still believe in restoration, why isn't it still now?
What I went through is just a period of time where literally the seeking, about 2 to 3, 4 months after she left, I started hearing God's voice purely.
I see.
But there is such a breaking within me, cleaning out, I don't know what, purification. Right. And the process was not easy. Right. It is 10 times the pressure or force, spiritual force, when it comes on you to be purified that you will experience just normally. Right. So not only is going through with all that, it was also the loss of work, mm-hmm. Friends. I mean, it was like, everything ends at that time.
Right.
And so the period of time I just really started seeking it was I wanted to hear a word, His voice, and make sure that I was going in the right direction. So at that period of time, I started hearing like one word. Two, three months later, I'd hear Him speak like one sentence, one word. Was it really Him? Could I hear His voice? And so it went from there to a period of time where it opened up to me as I kept seeking, asking, you shall receive, seek, and you shall find. So I thought if I'd seek Him, He'd answer me.
Wow.
So in different ways, He started to teach me, and the depth of things that the change in my life towards Him has been a huge difference.
So here's Mark, this normal guy who's worked in the post office for years and years. And all of a sudden he's had some kind of religious experience talking to God, and God's talking back, and his wife's leaving him. That must have seemed pretty weird to some of your friends.
Well, I didn't tell my friends this.
Oh.
I pretty much was alone. I didn't really share very much with anybody.
Right.
Other than just staying in my house and just seeking Him. So as far as like words, I mean, in the past, I was one of those guys that always kind of didn't fit in a church, but yet was in a church.
I getcha.
So the revelation, I'd get revelations in the Word consistently. And so it was different because the revelation in the Word of God was the pure word of what it meant.
Right.
But this was a word, you know, voiced exactly towards
right.
me.
Right.
Does that make sense? I'm not sure if it makes sense.
It does make sense to me.
Because that had never happened before.
Right. It might not make sense to some people that haven't had the experience. But there is a difference when you are actually hearing Yahweh's voice. It's not just the leading by His Spirit anymore. It's not just Him opening up your mind to understand anymore. It's really hearing Him specifically for you.
Yeah, I'd have to say the revelation is of knowledge of His Word.
Right.
And that was very easy for me because I'd hear stuff and share with people and they'd look at you like, oh,
yeah right.
That sounds good.
Right.
But it was real.
Right.
And it was always confirmed with either two other sources in the Bible whenever I get these revelations. And so all my life, I generally had things like that. And prophetically, just the visions and dreams, certain things where I'd see things that would happen or come true, or I knew things would happen in people's lives. But it was different at this period of time. So going back almost 4 years now, it changed.
Right.
It changed to an individual voice specific to me.
Right.
And again, it took on my knees 8 to 16 hours a day seeking Him in any way I could, reading books, reading the Bible, to start hearing like one word. And then, you know, it might be two words.
Right.
To the point where at one time, I don't know, it was several months into this, where He'd give me a word and I'd actually started to write down these words in a sequence.
Yes.
And so eventually I had like 300 words, and it was a poetic song, like a poetic song or a poem.
Wow.
And I had no idea at the beginning and the end or if it actually makes sense. Because if you just throw a bunch of words, like if somebody gave you 300 words and you wrote them down.
So you receive this kind of like a spelling bee in a way, right? Just words thrown at you.
Yes.
And you wrote them down. And then when you're done, you have a complete message.
Yes, which made no sense.
Yeah.
It really did
when
I was receiving them. But once I read it was just... it was stunning.
Yes.
It was beautiful.
Yep.
That's all I can say. It had to be from God. It had to be from Yahweh.
Right.
That was the start of now, because I've kept seeking that voice, it's grown into things where the Spirit of God has sent me out, so to say, to speak over cities.
Right. Right. So really... what we would call this ministry in a biblical sense is a prophetic ministry. In other words, prophetic in this case, what it means is speaking forth the living word of God as He gives it to you. And this is what you're saying you've been doing?
Yes. And I can explain it like this. It's language. Mm-hmm. And just like if you go to a different country and there's a different language, well, God has His language.
Right.
And it can be either known to us or not known to us, but He can also reveal it to you. And so in different ways now, He's giving me words.
Right.
And in the depth, I call it articulate or ornate word sentences. You know, in other words, I've asked for Him to go deeper and prayed, and I've been seeking just a complete understanding of the language that He's trying to speak to me.
Yeah. So I interpret this as meaning is that you really have been growing into this prophetic ministry. In other words, through this period of trial that you went through,
yes,
learning a word, learning two words, learning to hear three words, you've been growing in this prophetic capacity as He's been working with you.
And yes, it's been through discipline too. And discipline meaning this, I mean, in the beginning, it wasn't necessarily words. It was obeying Him.
Right.
Mark, get up to speak. Well, it's 3 a.m. And so there was a time when I would instantly get up and speak.
Right.
And beyond my own strength to obey His voice.
Right.
And you know, in the beginning, it was literally just speak out the words that I tell you, specific, do not deviate.
Right.
And so during the period of time, especially the first few years, it was very... generic. It was very minimal,
right?
But yet it was very specific,
right?
And so there are specific things He was teaching me to say and do. And I do know that there's other people out there that are having the same thing happen to them.
Yes, there are. And you know, on our program, some of the programs, for instance, we've had recently have been about the prophet Ezekiel and some of the strange things that happened in his life, strange things that Yahweh asked him to do. nevertheless with a divine purpose. And a lot of us think people like Ezekiel and the other prophets were for Bible times, which, of course, they were in Bible times. But I think it's something for us to contemplate how Yahweh actually is doing this today, how he is raising up prophets today to speak forth his word. And this is what you're describing to us that he's done in your life. And I know there are others that he's done this too. Now, you mentioned about him sending you to cities. What was that about?
Last year, last winter, he told me basically that I was going on a trip, but he was going to send me to different places that I was supposed to speak over those places. And it's like, well, okay. And so I journeyed out and spent pretty much 6 months on the road, 7 months just driving, you know, to different cities, he told me, and some of them were in between. But basically, it was all about territories. He never really named them cities. Some cities were specific, but they're also territories. So right. From this point to this point, I speak to you. And just to let you know, the message that I was speaking out, it always pertained to the four winds of the four corners of the earth and the angels.
Right.
That the angels would come on the four winds, the four corners of the earth, and do God's will, what he was speaking through the winds, and
right.
and just go forth and do exactly what God's plan was.
Well, of course, this is interesting to me because in my book, Announcing Judgment Day, it talks quite a bit about the four winds and their connection to the four angels and so on. So it's interesting to see now Yahweh raising up prophets to actually act towards those winds. That's kind of an interesting thing to...
Well, an interesting point. I didn't even know the four winds existed in the Bible. And every time I have gone through this process, it always is based on the Word of God. And so if something happened to me, generally speaking, almost 100% of the time, he would take me back to a verse in the Bible.
Right.
There are times when he told me to go back and go to a book in the Bible of some of the old prophets that spoke in a specific verse, a specific chapter. I didn't even know these prophets existed. I had to go to the front of the book just to see if they did. I didn't know.
Right.
And it was always there, every time. And it was exactly what I needed to hear. And one of the times was concerning vibrations in the voice and vibrations of God speaking. Because he told me that my voice was powerful and of the vibrations. And he used the word vibration. The only reason I say that, there was a specific verse that he took me back to in a specific book that talked about the vibrations, the voice of God. And so that's just one of the things.
Well, the spoken word is very powerful. And particularly when the Spirit of Yahweh is behind it. This is the reason that we put forth our message through a radio program, because that's very specific. The reason that we do that is because of the power of the spoken word that unleashes the Spirit of Yahweh. And, you know, that's an interesting thing that you mentioned. Well, you mentioned that you have been listening to our program for less than a week. So obviously, we didn't have anything to do with Yahweh sending you out and doing all of this in your life. I just want people to understand that. But yet, here we are sitting together today doing this recording. So how could that happen?
Well, this last time God sent me out, I thought I'd eventually go through Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so my brother has been listening to this program for about 3 years. And so he tells me what's being said sometimes. And so the main thing is we have become a partner. And so I just wanted to, I don't know if you want to, for a better sentence, say I want to put my foot on the ground and just see. And I know that he was just wanting me to stop by. So I kind of thought you had a big complex. Complex meaning that you had a bunch of buildings and people were surrounding you and libraries. And so I did not have any idea what I would find. So I was in Arizona and I was in a home that was vacant. And for some reason I popped on my computer and I was looking at your website because I wanted to kind of find out your address.
Right.
I couldn't find your address.
Right.
And so I went and I put it in the email and sent it. Well, the first thing is I haven't been able to log in. It's been very difficult for me to wander through the website. I've tried a couple of times. I just haven't spent, you know, enough time. But I thought, okay, well, somehow it popped up. I'd already logged in. And I sent this message. And I was kind of groggy. And but what happened was is you and Don called me on the phone within, I don't know, 5-10 minutes.
Right. Well, you included your phone number, so that helps.
So I was shocked.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to say, but other than, you know, hi. Yeah, I wanted to come through and just see you, and just for the purpose of just, my brother's a partner with you. I'm a partner. I just want to see what your ministry's like.
Right.
So I had no idea what I would run into.
Right.
Or what.
Now, that's what you said to me.
Yes.
And, of course, that's what I was expecting, that, you know, a partner was coming to visit, and so that was all great. But what I didn't know is what you've said to me since then, that you really had more of a reason than that to come.
Well, what happened is I got off the phone, and instantly, I mean, just the gift inside of me that God has placed, I saw something really quick that I knew was for him. And it was like a compass, and it was not a compass like a tool, but a design of a compass on the burnt shell of your property. And that I was supposed to go there, and he spoke to me and said that I'm supposed to read the language in the symbols and the signs left by the fire. I didn't want to do that.
Right.
I mean, I was in my mind literally was going through, you know, I'll just drive by. Sorry, I can't. I just thought that's just too wild.
Right.
And especially a person that I would consider having a foundational ministry, that you would never accept that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I called my brother and I told him what the Spirit of God was showing me. And he started like backtracking, like, oh man, you know, like, don't do that. It's almost like, oh, be real careful.
Right.
And I thought, Paul, I know, I get this. I'm sure that this man, especially if he has a calling on his life, has had other men come to him in a falseness. And so who am I to ever go there not knowing this man or his ministry or what he really stands on or believes? Why should I be sent there? So, I mean, inside of me, I just had a real apprehension. Me. Mm-hmm. Not the God in me, but me. Just
no,
the man.
I totally understand.
There's a difference.
I totally understand. Being in the ministry myself, I've had these same kinds of conflicts sometimes.
More after this short break. Dawn here, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about Zion Ministry. The first thing you need to know about us is that we are sharing these programs with you because Yahweh has put it on our hearts to do so for the sake of the scattered remnant of Israel. We don't have some big, well-funded organization or denomination behind us. It is a faith walk for us to bring these programs to you each and every week. We are very excited to see what has been happening since Zion Radio program has been on the air. More and more people from countries around the globe are looking to Zion for messianic truth. We are working hard to meet that growing need, but we must humbly ask for your help. We need your prayers for Yah's provision and protection. Getting our program out to you is a spiritual battle every week, and your prayers can surely help us in that battle. Please actively help us get the word out to others about the program. Tell your friends about it. Send them some of our materials. Your help in getting the word out helps us make the most of our existing airtime. We have lots of things we would like to do on the internet to bless our listeners. We just need more help to be able to do it. If you have internet skills and time to help, could you volunteer? If you do, we will give you an honored place to minister to others with your skills. Lastly, Zion could use your financial support. We are already broadcasting to many nations of the earth, yet that is not enough. We need to broadcast our program on many more stations so that we can reach the scattered remnant in every part of the globe. As you can imagine, all of that airtime is expensive. However, we believe that those who are blessed by our message want to help us continue to share it with themselves and with others. If you want to help the work of Zion in any of these ways, or if you have any feedback or questions, please contact at our website at www.tsiyon.org. And thanks for listening to our program.
TSIYON.ORG Zion.org. Zion.
You are listening to On the Road to Zion with Eliyahu ben David. Now back to Eliyahu ben David. Welcome back. Now, Eliyahu's interview of the visiting prophet continues.
And this is the problem we have sometimes with obedience, because Yahweh does these bold things. And sometimes, you know, it's very challenging personally when he puts it before you to do some really bold step. And that's part of course, growing into your ministry too. Of course, what you didn't know while you're having these feelings is that Yahweh's been speaking to me about this fire, about these ashes, about what's happening with my ministry. And I've been praying to him, asking him to send someone to confirm the things he's been saying to me. So when you said, okay, this is what I saw, and that Yahweh wants me to basically read what I see in these ashes, I really was not surprised. Did I seem surprised?
No.
I wasn't surprised, because the truth is I had been asking Yahweh to send somebody to confirm the things that he's already been saying to me. So even though I don't know you, even though you're a partner now, but nevertheless, I don't know you, I knew the spirit in you, and I really recognized that it was from Yahweh. So,
and the other thing that I haven't told you is dreams. There's language in dreams. And back in Psalms, it talks about the dreams are there and meant to heal or guide you from the spirit realm into the physical realm. In other words, to heal, to make an understanding. But there are always there's symbols in dreams. And it all is based on symbols. And so what has happened the last year is the language of dreams has come to me in a very, I don't know if you want to call it prophetic way, but revelatory way, revelation of God's word. And so any type of dream has symbols, especially reoccurring dreams. God says that he came to heal a brokenhearted, and that's a soul.
Right.
And so to heal a soul, he's telling you in your soul what's going on. And so I learned the language of symbols. And so when he told me the symbols and the fire, I knew there's a language here that I can interpret and give some revelation to it. But it was sent to me, and I've always believed this, that it is for to encourage you. Any type of message I've given to several different people or things is an encouragement and or to be able to confirm. So this is something that I'm not going to give you a revelation, but yet the confirmation of what he's already told you. So it would be...
Right. You know,
does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. In fact, you know, for people that have been listening to our ministry a long time, some of them might be thinking, well, I know Eliyahu has dreams and interprets the symbols of dreams and what they mean for people. Because I've done that even on our radio program.
Oh, you have? I did not know that.
Now, I know you didn't know it because you just started listening. But nevertheless, a lot in quite a number of our programs, I've done this. In our newsletter, you'll find this quite a lot. And so I can really relate to who you are because I have a lot of the same gifts that I use. So some people would know that just because they've been following my ministry for a while, and they might be thinking, well, why would Yahweh send somebody else to do what Eliyahu can already do himself? You know, it might not seem to make sense to people. But you see, sometimes you really need to have the word from somebody else rather than just what you know yourself. Like, for instance, in this particular case where this fire has gone through, you know, and destroyed our property, our studio, our house, all of our stuff, this is very severe. So some people might wonder about that. Well, why would that happen? Why would Yahweh let that happen? So really, I think as much or more for them as for me, because I understand this, okay? But a lot of the people who might be affected by our ministry might not understand that. And they really need to hear a word from somebody else who isn't me to know, you know, as a confirmation of what is going on here. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. And it, what comes to my mind is Luke 12, where it talks about Jesus talking, and he's got some people that are literally plotting to destroy him. Mm-hmm. Because he's talked to him, and he's basically said that the blood of the prophets, that God would send some to be murdered, mm-hmm. some to be beaten, and basically persecuted to the point of death to a certain degree.
Right, yes.
And so it said that he allowed it and sent it.
Right.
And that is contrary to the, I call it, in my words, the Kumbaya church.
Yeah.
I've got this picture of everybody holding hands around the building, right. And everything's just fine if we think positive thoughts, everything's going to be positive.
Right.
And who wants to think negative things? But that's not the Word of God.
Right.
So this last year also, what's happened to me is I have, God led me to read the book of Proverbs 50 times.
Right.
Succinct and precise, mm-hmm. the words. And what happened, there's a language in the book of Proverbs, and there's a separation between good and evil. And if you cannot recognize that there is bad things and evil, you know, and then also mm-hmm. separate that from the good, then there really is no gospel. Mm. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross.
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeshua. And just to let everybody know, if I say Jesus stills because this Yeshua stuff and shalom.
Well, you know what?
I said shalom to you this morning because
Well, this is what I love about what Yahweh's doing in raising up the remnant, because a lot of us were part of the church system, and this is new to us, or to some of us. We haven't been walking in this very long, and we're learning. So some of it feels kind of strange, you know, like using the Hebrew terms. We've been... If you have said Jesus for 35 years, then, you know, that's the term that's going to probably feel most natural to you. And it's kind of foreign at first to use the Hebrew terms. After a while, it isn't. It becomes very normal. But there's this transition time, and this is perfectly normal. You know, there's some people that have walked as messianics for years, and... frankly, some of them have a rotten, snobbish attitude, because new people that are coming along that don't use the jargon, they look down their nose at them as if they're stupid and don't know anything. And I resent that, because if Yahweh himself accepts that person and even has called that person, then who are they to look down their nose at them because they don't use the Hebrew term they think they ought to use? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that is the spirit of religion. And it might be among the messianics rather than the church system, but it's just as evil. We need to let go of that. I just think that's really important to realize and to leave room for the fact that Yahweh is working in people's lives, and that they are growing into what he's calling them into. This is where we're at right now, and this is happening for a lot of people. So, you know what? If you slip and you say Jesus instead of Yeshua, no sweat, okay?
Okay.
So that's how that is. Okay, what I wanted to do, I think really we could talk about these things for a long time, but I invited Mark to our property, and as I mentioned earlier, we ourselves have just now reestablished ourselves in a temporary place for us here on the property.
So it's been like a week? 2 weeks?
It's been a couple of days.
Oh.
It's the same weekend, okay?
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. So we ourselves are right back here. And then Mark comes immediately. So this is what happens. And I'm telling you this because I want you to understand that it's necessary to take the step of faith first, and then you hear the word. It's not the other way around, okay? So, in other words, had to hear from Yahweh first before coming back onto this property. And I couldn't come back here until then, until I knew that was the right thing to do. And then immediately after that, you're here. And of course, you told me, not right away either.
No. No, I didn't want, honestly, I did not want to tell you.
Right.
I just thought, yeah, this guy's going to think I am nuts.
Right. Yeah. And I really understand.
A heretic, I guess, is the word, just coming in to cause harm. Right. And that was not my intent.
Yeah. And I think it's so neat, your ministry, because you are such a regular kind of guy. I mean, I take mail into people that essentially look just like you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Very normal, regular kind of guy, and yet Yahweh is speaking through you. This is what Yahweh's doing today. He's taking people who are ordinary people, but nevertheless whose hearts are given to him, and he's doing extraordinary things because he's raising up his people today. He's raising up his remnant today, and this could happen with anybody that would listen to this program, you know, and it's going to be unique and different for each person, but there's certain common elements of how this happens. But anyway, eventually Mark told me, and he practically just kind of spit this out quickly, like I could hardly even hear it, that there was a message in the ashes. And by the way, that might be why he was here. And I think he probably, I don't know, tell me,
well,
Mark.
You invited me back to your house, and I said, well, before we go back, I need to tell you what happened. And so then I went back to when I was in Arizona, and that, you know, after I got off the phone with you, that God wanted me to come look at your ashes, that there was symbols and a language in it, and I needed to interpret it for, just interpret it.
Right.
I don't know if it was for confirmation and also... Mm-hmm. Just encouragement, but I threw that out right at the end.
Right, exactly. Well, of course, I'm waiting for Yahweh to bring someone with this message. So I understood what was happening, and Mark would have no reason to know that. But anyway, after visiting with us for a short time, Mark went out to spend some time walking through the ashes here on our property, looking at it, spending time, basically a whole afternoon, right?
Yes.
And writing some things down.
I actually thought maybe you thought I was just going to go glance and then tell you a couple of things and leave.
No, I didn't expect that. I mean, it could have happened that way, but I knew that you were being very careful.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I could see that, what was happening spiritually. I sensed that you were being very careful to make sure that the word you had was the full word and that it was very pure.
Well, it was about 3 hours.
Yeah.
I thought you were getting nervous.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, good.
No. No, I in fact, I went out, I did some shopping, you know, a number of different things because I knew that you were going to be...
Taped a program.
Yeah.
It was a while. Yeah.
This is not my first rodeo, you know.
Okay.
So, I mean, I know a little bit about how these things work. So, Mark spent some time with this and with Yahweh, and what we want to do now is, Mark has written this all out. You took time to write this all out so you didn't miss anything.
Yes.
So that we would have the whole thing. But knowing that the spoken word is so important, you know, sometimes we mess things up when it's just in black and white. I wanted to have you go through this word and actually speak this, and through, for instance, what your perceptions were at the time you wrote it down, you know, it adds meaning to things that otherwise we wouldn't understand. So if you'd just kind of like share this message with us, I'd really appreciate it.
Yes, I will. And just to start out, just real quick, the prophetic ministry to me is one of encouragement. And also confirmation. People have a misperception of the prophetic ministry, like they're always coming and they're going to read your lunch and tell you you're going to hell.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Every place you look in the scriptures, there are the, you know, things where the old prophets were speaking about Israel and sin and stuff like that. Right. But a lot of it also was encouragement, just like different people in their lives, the prophetic ministry was to encourage. And so to me, the ministry is an encouragement. I think that the prophetic ministry is a little bit lonely.
Mm-hmm.
because these guys have, my interpretation, have to hear God's voice in a purity. So a lot of times they're separated from the normal flow of activity in the church, so to say, my opinion. And so there's been many places I've been sent just to interpret things for people, but it's always meant as an encouragement. There's only been one time, but it was behind the scenes, where I really have been speaking out things that would happen to that person because that person hasn't heard.
Right.
They already had people sent to them and they were not hearing.
And that can happen. Sometimes there can
But that
be.
Was yeah. the rarity, not the norm.
Right.
The norm is
right.
encouragement.
And I think this is a major reason why Yahweh is raising up prophets right now, because a lot of the remnant people need to have that encouragement to step forward. You know, it's, as you probably know, it feels kind of strange when Yahweh is first calling you and you don't really know exactly what's going on and so on. And to get an encouraging word, prophetic word, can really be what you need to help set your direction.
Yes. So I'll get into now what I saw. So anyway, I'm just, so those that may want to hear what I did see is, when I drove up, they had this fence. It was wood, and it was, everything's burnt except the gates. And when I mean burnt, I went on the property. I thought, I was expecting to see ashes, but I didn't expect to see the depth of ashes. I mean, it burnt to the ground.
Yes.
I mean, all their belongings, their studio, from what I understand.
Right. Yes.
It's not like I thought maybe it was scorched. There's a difference between scorched and burnt.
Yeah. It's pretty, it's ashes.
It's ashes. Everything's ashes. Yeah. I mean, it really is total, I don't know if it's the best word. I mean, it's 95% gone. And the only thing left are scorched trees.
Right.
Pretty much.
Right.
And so, I mean, it was so hot, and the home that they're living in, that the steel, the beams underneath the house literally are bent.
Right.
And so for the heat to get that hot, it was total destruction.
Yeah, it was remarkably hot, incredibly hot.
So what happened was I went out and I just started looking around, and again, I thought, oh my word, you know, I mean, this is like total destruction to me. So what started out as a conversation, again, these words start out with one word. Now it has turned into a conversation with God. He asked me, you know, this question. He said, what did you see in the ashes? And so I replied, complete destruction. And just to let you know how I was doing this, I took a tablet and I wrote down verbatim what he'd ask me or say. Mm-hmm. And so everything is recorded. Then I come back and I wrote it in the computer for you to have. And so very few words are edited.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like I then interpret again and put my own language in there.
Right.
Because
right.
I've learned to just say what he says and write what he says.
So you just wrote it down as he gave it to you, but then you typed it all up.
In a sequence.
Yeah.
And so I said, complete destruction. And then he replied back, no, you are wrong. This is complete reconstruction. It is my will that this man's house face the east so that he may see and mentally dwell on my country, Israel. He shall rebuild here and look through the destruction and see that the earth is going to pass away like this house. He should always remember this and remind him, I will bring him home.
Yes.
So that was just the first thing. And so later on, Don was sharing with us. Mm-hmm. Something about that. Did you want to speak on that right now?
All right, you could say what you said.
Well, when I was sharing this, Don, you could just feel the presence and spirit of God there, because Don said, well, God spoke to me many a while back and said that our house should face the east, and a reminder of Israel. And I don't know, paraphrasing the God we serve, that basically face that way.
Right. Right.
So it was quite a deal for me to start out that way. And so then what he did is he gives me words.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, the symbols are words, but then the definition of the symbols come. Mm-hmm. And so the first word he gave me was foundation. As I was standing over your old house, there was a foundation. And so this is what he told me. Many years ago, I took down all that he had and rebuilt him on my foundation. I will again rebuild this man's house the way that I want it rebuilt. The heat bent the steel foundation, but it is still there. The enemy came to destroy this man's foundation, but he could not, because it's like this steel. My will is for him to regain all that has been taken from him.
Well, that's a great thing to hear.
And then I wrote in the dictionary terms later of the word foundation, and foundation is an underlying base or support, especially the whole masonry structure of a building.
Hmm.
Then it goes on, and I saw the trees. So he told me to write down the word trees, and so then this is what he told me. Trees offered shelter from mankind, and the enemy took his shelter. I will build a spiritual shelter. The enemy wanted to destroy this man's covering. The enemy came and took my son's covering. And he keeps using the word covering in this. And so now I will spring forth a new covering, a new spiritual covering that will never be penetrated. Tell him that I am that I am. He will never come under this form of destruction again. This is my word. And the word my word was almost like a covenant or a promise to you for this man. And so the words trees is a piece of wood or a post or pole usually adopted to a particular use or form, part of a new structure or implement.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in the dictionary, and I think it's the cross of which Jesus was crucified.
Yes.
That's actually in the terminology.
A tree, right?
Yeah. So that was interesting. And then fence.
Yeah, it looks good.
And I saw the fence. There was no fence. It burnt.
Right.
Was it like an 8-foot fence?
Yeah, it's like an 8-foot fence. There's posts every 8 feet, I think, that are metal, which still stand.
The metal.
Yeah, it's interesting. The metal posts still stand, but the wooden parts in between that are actually the fence are all burned away.
Okay, but we're not saying scorched.
No, burned, gone.
Gone.
Okay. Ashes.
So, yeah. It's not like, you know, poof and it's a little bit scarred at the bottom. It literally...
Right.
There's nothing left. There's not even a little piece left on anywhere on the fence or below it.
Yeah, I think, you know, for people to understand what has happened here, on this property, which is several acres, it was totally surrounded by this wooden fence. And, of course, we had some wonderful trees. So the property was very private, you know, and which was very good for us. It was quiet. It was very private. And now... with the fence totally burned down, the trees all scorched or burned down. The place where we live is like a fishbowl. Everybody can just kind of, you know, it's like totally open now. And it looks like World War III out here.
So the interpretation of the word fence he gave to me was he surrounded his property with a fence, which was a barrier for protection. I will restore a spiritual barrier for his family that will protect them. And then the meaning of fence is a means of protection. Interesting.
Yes.
A barrier intended to prevent escape or intrusion or to mark a boundary, especially such a barrier made for posts, wire, and or boards, which you have.
That's exactly what I had.
Yeah. Wow. So then he gave me the word gate. And what's left as a symbol that his gate, which is in parentheses heart, is still open to me and will not be burnt or destroyed. I will dwell with this man that will not be taken from him. His spirit will never be closed off or destroyed.
Wow.
So I just instantly knew that this man's heart could have turned away in a form, whether that's 10% or 100%, just because it's destroyed. Your stuff's gone.
Right? It's gone.
I mean... You didn't take anything with you, from what I understand from Don. You guys were on the run.
No, I put my kids in the vehicle, and we were gone because this fire was descending.
And it wasn't like a warning that you got from what I understand.
Right.
It was...
Right.
You saw the fire.
Right.
There was no warning signs.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm very blessed and thankful that we escaped with our lives.
So none of us didn't have time to grab stuff.
No. I mean, we could have... But there's no telling how fast that fire was moving. And so really, in that situation with our children's lives at stake, I'm not going to take that right down to
how many minutes do you
have wire.
Ready?
Well, we saw this fire. Well, what we actually saw was this wall of black smoke. At first, we thought it was a cloud, but we could actually then feel heat coming from it, and it was like just there. And when we saw it, our power went out. So two and two came together. We realized this is not just a cloud. This is smoke. So then we got together. We have a disabled son for whom, you know, the smoke itself could have been very damaging to him. So we just immediately got everybody into our vehicle and got out of there. There were some people that did die because they didn't get out fast enough.
Wow. So just in what Spirit of God was sharing with me, again, it was your heart and spiritual protection, because yeah. It was a decision. Like, some people could probably interpret this as not good.
Yeah. Right. Well, the truth is, you know, I left behind everything having to do with my ministry. I didn't go back into the studio and get any of our computers, any of our information. All the stuff I guess people would think would be the most important to me, I just left behind. I put my family in the vehicle and got out of there. So, you know, some people might see that in a negative light. I don't know. But I felt I was doing what needed to be done in that situation. I think it's foolish to go back in. I think once yes. Yahweh brings you out, don't go back in. That's what I believe.
For anybody else out there to understand what the gates look like, you've got to understand there's a 3-acre fence and a gate, and it was all built with the same material. The gates left.
Right.
And nothing else. I mean, it's ashes. I mean, not even anything on the ground, not part of it scorched. I mean, it all has been burnt to the ground other than the gates.
It looks bizarre.
It is.
Because, you know, the yes. gate is totally burned down. Everything's, I mean, the fence is totally burned down.
It's gone.
Everything's burned down. But the gate is just kind of swinging in the wind out there, and it's there and didn't burn.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah. There's no logical sense other than, to me, I believe that God did that as a symbol.
Yes.
Again. But that's the symbol that he showed me to interpret.
We need to interrupt this interview here because our time today is almost up. Listeners must be wondering, is there more?
Well, yes, there is quite a bit more. And that's why we will be continuing this interview in our next program. It will include 7 prophetic words and their game-changing interpretation in the next program. People who are interested in what's happening at Zion Ministry won't want to miss this.
You have been on the road to Zion with Eliyahu Ben David and me. I'm Dawn. To hear us streamed live on the internet worldwide, visit our website at tsiyon.org. Do you love the scattered remnant of Israel as we do? If so, then we need your faithful prayer and financial support to extend the reach of this message to every corner of the globe. Volunteers are needed to partner with us in every aspect of this vital work. If you feel moved to help, or if you just want to learn more about Zion, please visit our website at tsiyon.org. And while you're at the website, you can get your free gift and leave us some feedback so we can keep in touch. On behalf of Eliyahu Ben David and myself, thank you for walking this stretch of road with us on the road to Zion. Shalom.
House of Israel, weep for joy. I brought you out of the nations. O house of Israel, weep for joy. Forsaken you, you are my own. I brought you out of the nations. I am preparing to give you new wings, so you'll rise from judgment that my spirit brings. I've not forsaken you, you are my own. I brought you out of the nations. I've not forsaken you. You are my own.